This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
You can hear him here on The Fan. You can also read his work, and he's good at it, at the Plain Dealer in Cleveland.com. He's Mr. Chris Fedor. Hello, Chris.
Hello.
What's up, guys?
Iron Man.
How are you, man? Everything good?
Yeah, doing great.
All right. Well, that is good news. First of all, let's get it out of the way. Did LeBron sell his soul to the devil or something? 36 years old and playing like he was 26?
I was just on the phone with somebody close to LeBron, actually, and it's just we marvel at the things that he does. And here's the thing. He is showing no signs of slowing down. Like, usually these guys towards the end of their career, like, they can still have these kinds of games. But these games are normal for LeBron. They're not just outliers. And it's amazing to me that he continues to expand. Like, look at what he's doing from three-point range this year. I think he's shooting 41% from deep. That obviously was a knock on him early on in his career, and he continued to work through it, continued to work through it. But how do you guard the guy?
Yeah.
If you turn him into a passer, he's going to slice you up. If you go under screens, he's going to bury outside shots the way that he did last night. It's Frank Vogel said it best, the Lakers head coach. He said, if I'm devising a game plan for LeBron, I don't even know what approach I'm taking at this point in time. It's unbelievable. He has no weakness.
Let me follow that up real quick. I was watching closely Isaac Okoro on him last night.
Did everything he could.
He did. That's what I was going to say. He did a pretty good job, and LeBron scored 46.
Yeah, absolutely right. I mean, I have to look at the numbers, the detailed numbers on contested shots versus uncontested shots and things along those lines, and it's on my to-do list today on the off day. But, I mean, that is a lesson for young Isaac Okoro, that you can play great defense in this league. You can play near-perfect defense in the league, and sometimes it just doesn't matter. And I think he's learning that early on here. And I love the fact that the Cavs are throwing him into the fire. It's baptism by fire. That's been their plan. James Harden, Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving, LeBron James. He's probably going to defend Jeremy Grant tomorrow against the Detroit Pistons. Like, these are all things that are going to make Isaac Okoro better if he recognizes what defense in this league is all about. And sometimes there is no defense for great offense.
I don't know. I didn't catch the post game. I'm sure you did, but yeah, I'm just curious. You know, watching, LeBron is the best player that I've ever seen live play in front of me. And like, I read a story this morning on ESPN, which I kind of thought it was garbage, to be honest with you. That LeBron I heard that, you know, I was listening on the radio last night to this too. That he got into a little tiff behind the Cavs bench, that someone in the Cavs front office staff was clapping that the ball was going to get turned back over to the Cavs, and so they would have a chance, and that was the inspiration for LeBron James, that's all he kind of needed. Like, I'm reading this piece and I'm laughing that's the reason why LeBron was able to have his, you know, best offensive night, because someone was clapping that the Cavaliers were going to get the ball back last night? That was ridiculous.
Well,
I thought it was.
I have to correct you.
Okay.
It was a shot that LeBron took at the end of the third quarter that missed, and it was part of LeBron going 1 of 6 from the field in the third quarter, only scoring 2 points, allowing the Cavs to get back in the game. And there was a member of the Cavs front office. He's been outed by ESPN. It's Cavs
Which
chief
was ridiculous,
of staff,
by
Jason
the way.
Hillman.
Yeah.
I have been able to confirm that it was him as well. He was sitting there on executive row next to Kobe Altman and assistant GM Mike Gansey. That's where the Cavs are sitting for every single home game this year.
Sure.
Because they can't sit where they normally do right behind the bench. So they've right. moved where they're seated.
Yeah.
And, yeah, he clapped. He clapped because LeBron missed. It caught LeBron's attention. LeBron turned around, and the two had an exchange. Did he need that for the fourth quarter? No. Like, LeBron was great in the first quarter. Scored 17 points. He set the tone. And he missed one shot in the first quarter. So LeBron doesn't need anything to be ridiculous, but it
right.
clearly got a rise out of him. There's no doubt about that. And I actually talked to somebody in the Cavs front office who said, who wanted to make it known that he didn't say a word, but he did acknowledge that there was a clapping member from their section that definitely like fueled LeBron. Again, he doesn't need it, but it certainly added something to what he did in the fourth quarter, and he continued to turn around and look at said person, Jason Hillman, and stare him down after some of the plays that LeBron made in the fourth quarter.
It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. I think that's
true. It doesn't
ridiculous.
Take much for LeBron. That's something.
Yeah, but
that
I'm just saying. I mean, we're talking about a guy who's. I mean, it's because a guy clapped because he missed because a guy on the other team who happened to be you. LeBron's come into that arena before where it has been pure vitriol, and maybe because it's so quiet because there isn't that many people in there that you take one guy who
yeah.
clapped it. I mean that.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just think LeBron's
you know
better
this,
than just that moment. That's all.
I mean, you know this. The greats look for anything.
Yep.
Anything that they consider to be a perceived slight. I even tweeted it last night. Who knew excitedly cheering a guy missing a shot that keeps your team in front was such
Damn.
Disrespect and over the line.
Bingo.
But if you're a great player, oftentimes you look for anything, any extra motivation.
Chris Fedor joining us. The Cavaliers are playing competitive basketball, Chris. I think they've been a surprise to most folks around the NBA. Andy and I saw projections that they'd win 19 games, and we thought those were foolish. What do you think about where the team is now, and where can it go this year? Because I think it's playing a lot better than most people expected it to.
Yeah, I mean, I think the best things that you can say about the Cavs at this point in time is that they have an identity. That's first and foremost. They're an annoying, scrappy group of overachievers that some teams simply don't want to deal with for 48 minutes. And because of that kind of identity and that kind of physicality that can wear down an opponent, they're going to pick up some wins that you don't think they're going to get. Because there are teams that just aren't going to want to deal with that level of physicality. On top of that, they're a well-coached team that has bought in completely on the defensive end of the floor. Now, they've had some slippage in the last couple of games, Boston, Los Angeles. But they're the sixth best defense in the NBA after being like a hilarious pregame layup line for two consecutive seasons. That's big-time progress. And on top of everything, I feel like the vision of the organization – is starting to come to light. You know, if you look at what is here in terms of a young core, you've got a dynamic young backcourt with Darius Garland and Colin Sexton. Colin Sexton has been one of the Eastern Conference's best players for a six-month stretch now, going back to last December. Darius Garland, before he injured his shoulder at the beginning of the season, was operating like a true natural point guard, the engine of the offense, getting other guys involved, finding a mix of getting his own shots and setting up his teammates. He was showing some things in his second year that he didn't show as much as a rookie, and there were promising signs with him. You've got Isaac Okoro, a defensive-minded wing with an unpolished offensive game, but room you feel like to grow at that end of the floor. Larry Nance Jr., a do-everything forward, and then Jared Allen, kind of the centerpiece moving forward, a 22-year-old up-and-coming center who can protect the undersized backcourt. You know, the Cavs made a commitment to go with this undersized backcourt. They used two top 10 picks on undersized guards. And they knew that if those guys are going to function, if the Cavs as a team are going to function properly, then we have to put defensive pieces around them. And when you look at the core moving forward, you have that mixture. And all of a sudden, this rebuild comes into focus, and you feel better about the future of this team. For everything that the Cavs don't have, and they're missing some things, they're missing, I think, a foundation piece of this rebuild, like a Kyrie Irving type, a LeBron type, that kind of guy. Maybe Colin Sexton can become that, but I think the jury is still out on that. But for everything that they're missing, they have an identity, they have a coach, and they've got a young, exciting core that makes sense and actually fits together properly rather than just a collection of talent.
Chris, is there a world, Jeff and I were talking about this earlier, is there a world where Jared Allen and Andre Drummond are on the Cavs for a long period of time?
I keep going back and forth on this, and I just don't think there is. And look, they need Andre. There's no doubt about that. The level of competitiveness that they've been able to play with since he arrived in a trade from Detroit in February, like, they are not in any position to lose that. And they're going to, potentially, if they trade him or just let him walk in free agency. But there's a business side to this, and I think we all understand that as well. Committing huge money to two centers is, especially centers that don't have the kind of game that you want from a center these days, right? That's just really risky. There's something called asset management. There's something that's called placing a specific value on a specific player in a specific position. And I just don't think in the situation that the Cavs are in right now, still early into this rebuild, that they can commit the kind of resources and the kind of money to two centers in this kind of era of the NBA. And everything that I have heard is that Andre Drummond is going to want the max or something close to the max. Is he going to get it? I don't think so, but there are going to be a lot of teams with a lot of money to spend in free agency this offseason and not a lot of great free agents to pick from. So maybe somebody does get a little bit desperate and wants to pay him. Like, if the Cavs could get him for a little bit cheaper, I absolutely think they would explore that. But I think the Cavs are under the belief right now that his market is going to be higher a lot more heated because of the lack of free agents than what they wanted.
What do you do then, Chris?
You re-sign Jared Allen.
And what do you do with Andre?
I mean, you have to, I think you have to explore and probably trade him at the deadline. Because just like I said in one breath, the Cavs are in no position to lose him because they're going to lose some of their competitiveness, and that's true. As I also said, there's a business side to this, and they're in no position to allow an asset, and that's what Andre is, as an expiring contract, as a guy who could boost a playoff contender potentially. They're in no business to just let that guy walk out the door at the end of the season for nothing.
I agree with that, that's for sure. Chris, thank you, bud. We have enjoyed your work, and we appreciate you being with us.
You got it, guys. Anytime.
Thanks.
Chris
Fedor,
Plain Dealer, Cleveland.com, covers the Cavaliers, and we had him on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. Audacy. Download it today.